Now you'll find our reading tonight, two readings, the first in the book of Numbers chapter 21, and the second just a few verses from John's Gospel. Numbers chapter 21, and then a few verses from John's Gospel. Numbers 21, verse 1 through to 9. When King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, Set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now we could turn over into the Gospel of John, John's Gospel chapter 3. And verse 14 and 15. And it reads, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We know that God will bless the reading of his truth. We're looking at a little series at the moment entitled Pictures of Calvary, going back into the Old Testament and seeing away back there how that the Scriptures can bring before us the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ and his death at the place called Calvary. And that's what we're at again this evening. We find that Christ, in his teaching and preaching, he often referred to the Old Testament Scriptures and stories. We find that he said on many occasions, Have ye not read? Or it is written. He spoke of Jonah. He spoke of Moses. He spoke of Noah. He spoke of Lot. He spoke of Elijah. He spoke of David. He spoke of Solomon. And he spoke of many of these Old Testament characters and many Old Testament stories. And he used these to prove and illustrate the truth that he wanted to teach. In the first part of this chapter 3 of John, we find he has been speaking here about the necessity of the new birth. He has been pointing out to a religious man, a religious Pharisee, that people need to be born again of the Spirit of God. There needs to be a new birth experience in their life. And Christ, in teaching this great truth, refers back to that great story that we have read tonight in Numbers chapter 21, the story of the serpent being lifted up upon a pole. And as we look at these verses here in John 3 tonight, we want to go back to that story, because here in Numbers chapter 21, we have a picture of Calvary. A picture of Calvary. When we come to what Jesus said, he said here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and he's referring back to Numbers chapter 21. And I've called that a past illustration. The writer is using this Old Testament illustration to teach a great gospel truth. And he's quoting from that chapter when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and we find that the people, they spake against God and against Moses. And of course, that's par for the course, isn't it? My God's people, sometimes they look for someone to blame. And unfortunately, this time they spake against God and against Moses, his servant. And we find that God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And we find that the people came to Moses, and they said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord would take away these serpents from us." And we find that Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord answered Moses, and he spoke to Moses. And he said to Moses, "Listen, make a fiery serpent," or a serpent of brass, "put it on a pole, and lift it up, and everyone that looketh on the serpent of brass shall live." And we find that Moses did as God had told him. He made a serpent of brass, he put it on a pole, and it came to pass that everyone and every man that beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. We see God's grace. We see God's grace here providing salvation. Salvation through faith. They were looking by faith to the serpent of brass. This was a look of faith that saved them. Remember that the camp of Israel was as large as maybe Belfast, an outer Belfast. We're talking here about people numbering nearly 2 million in number. And of course, those out in the circumference couldn't see what was happening in the center, but they were looking by faith to where the serpent of brass was lifted up. And when they looked by faith, my, they lived. They were cured of this bite that they had received. That's a past illustration. And this past illustration, he uses to make a present day implication. These people had sinned. They were bitten by these fiery serpents, and death was the consequences of being bitten by the serpents. It says, "Much people of Israel died." They perished. And what happened in the wilderness to Israel reminds us of the plight of men and women today. Because the fact of the matter is this, that each one of us has been bitten by the serpent of sin. Each one of us have been bitten by the serpent of sin. We were born in sin. Sin was in our nature when we were conceived. My, it was in our nature to sin. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, "You were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And friends, because of sin, we're perishing. And because of sin, we're dying. That's why people die. Sin brought death into the world. Paul says that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Physical death. People die because of sin. If Adam hadn't sinned, if he had kept his perfect man status, there would have been no death. But when he sinned, death came. And Adam sinned, and death came to every form of life that was upon the earth. It came to the vegetable world. It came to the animal world. It came to the human world. Because of sin, the leaves wither and become brown and fall from the trees. Because of sin, the dog growls and the lion roars. And because of sin, dear friends, people die. And of course, sin brought not only physical death, it brought spiritual death. Why, when Paul writes to the Ephesians, he reminds them and he says, and you hath he quickened, you hath he given new life to, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. You can be alive physically, but dead spiritually, dead to everything that is of God. And of course, sin brought eternal death. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. Eternal punishment. This is the plight of men and women today. People who are respectable. People who do their bit, who do their best, people who pay their taxes, people who don't annoy anybody. And yet the fact is this, that if men and women are not saved and born again, they're in danger of perishing. So in Moses' day, by the implication of the text, is that men and women have the same need today as they had in Moses' day. In Moses' day, they had a physical need. In our day, there's a spiritual need. The implication of the text is that people need to be saved from the consequences of sin today, just as they did in Moses' day. So we see here a past illustration. He's going back to Moses in the wilderness when the people sinned, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And we see this present day implication. And of course that brings us to a powerful revelation, because Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must. This was an absolute necessity. It's a powerful revelation. When the people came to Moses in their need and asked him to pray to the Lord that he would take these serpents from them, Moses prayed for the people, and my God told Moses what to do. And he says to Moses, take a fiery serpent, make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up. And all those that look to the serpent of brass, my, they shall live. This was God's plan of salvation. There was a Savior provided. There was a way and a means. And all people had to do was look by faith to the serpent of brass that was lifted up on the pole to live. And you know, God, just as he revealed the way and the means of salvation to Moses for the people in the wilderness, God has revealed his plan of salvation to us today through the gospel. The plan of salvation, my, it was revealed to us and it was devised in eternity. Peter talks about a lamb chosen before the foundation of the world. That's going a long way back. Going a long way back before the foundation of the world. My, we read in Revelation chapter 13 about the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And there's that phrase again. Man, that's going a long way back. This was God's plan drawn out in eternity before the foundation of the world. And then Paul says this, when the fullness of the time was come. when God's appointed time came for his plan to be put into practice, to be put into operation, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And that's why we read in John 3:14, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And of course, that's a picture of Calvary. The serpent lifted up on the pole was a type or a picture of the Son of God being lifted up on the cross. The serpent on the pole, the Savior on the cross. And it's here we see this great picture of Calvary, way back in Numbers, the book of Numbers, in the days of Moses, when he was leading the people through the wilderness. You know, as we look at this picture, as we look at this serpent on the pole being lifted up, we see here a picture of the Savior on the cross. For men and women to be saved. For you and I to have life eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, had to go to the cross and die for us. Wasn't enough for him to come and be born at Bethlehem. Wasn't enough for him to give to the poor and heal the sick. Wasn't enough for him just to teach those great messages that he taught. He had to go to the cross. He had to be lifted up. There was no other way. There was no other means. We see a picture of the Savior on the cross as the serpent on the pole is lifted up. We see here in this brazen serpent, this serpent on the pole, a picture not only of the Savior on the cross, we see a picture of the suffering on the cross. Because just as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, so the Son of God was lifted up on a cross. They put him on a cross. He was lifted up between heaven and earth. The Son of Man was taken, and they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and they took that cross and they lifted it up and brought it down into its sockets, and there he hung and there he died. And now we see his hands and feet were nailed to the cross. He was crucified. He was crucified. Crucifixion, one of the most painful forms of death. And you know, there was that physical suffering, that physical pain that gripped every nerve in his body. But there was a more awful part of the sufferings of Calvary that we see in the serpent on the pole being lifted up. We see his substitutional sufferings here. You see, a serpent, or the serpent in the Bible, speaks of sin. And brass speaks of judgment. And if you put the two together, it speaks of sin being judged. How did they make this serpent of brass to put on the pole? They took brass and they put it in a melting pot and put it over the fire, and they heated that block of brass that was in the melting pot. They heated it to such a temperature that it melted into liquid. And when it was melted into liquid, then they took that pot, that melting pot, and they poured that liquid into the mold of a serpent, and they poured it into that mold of a serpent. And of course, when the liquid cooled down, it hardened and became the form of a serpent. And you can imagine the heat that was generated to bring that brass to the place where it became liquid. And you know, friends, at Calvary, the Savior was put into the melting pot. He was put into the melting pot of Calvary, into the darkness of Golgotha, where the sun refused to shine. And there his soul went away down into the depths, and it was made an offering for sin, and all the wrath of a holy God consumed him and covered him, and he sunk in deep mire. And that serpent on the pole, it just gives us a picture of the agony and the pain and the suffering that the Son of Man went through on the cross to die for our sin and to save our souls. Hymn writer said, "Help me to understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sin." And in this serpent of brass, we see a picture of Calvary, a picture of the Savior on the cross, a picture of the sufferings on the cross. And in this serpent, this brazen serpent, we see a picture of the sufficiency of the cross. Because all these perishing people in the wilderness, under Moses, in Numbers chapter 21, all they were asked to do was to look to the serpent of brass and they would live. That's all they were asked to do. Yes. And because of what was accomplished when the Son of God was lifted up on the cross, all that men and women need to do is to look by faith to Christ, and they shall live. This is the plan of salvation. And we see in that plan the wonder of God's love and grace and mercy. All you need to do is look by faith to Calvary's tree, and thou shalt live. So we see here a past illustration. Moses in the wilderness, the serpent of brass being lifted up. And we see a present day implication, because just as men and women were dying because of sin in his day, they're dying because of sin in our day. And we see this powerful revelation. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And then we have this personal application in verse 15, for he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, all it needed was a look of faith. All it needed. And that look of faith brought a cure, and it brought life to those who had been bitten by the fiery serpents in the wilderness. And Christ was making this application, and he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, or whosoever looks to him, whosoever looks to him by faith to save him, should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Dear friends, because of the cross, Christ is alive, and his power to save souls from hell, power to forgive sins, power to give life eternal. And this is a personal look of faith. No one else can look for you. You must look for yourself. It's a personal look of faith. These people were perishing in the wilderness. They realized they were perishing. They were helpless. They said, "We have sinned." And then they obeyed the word of God, and they looked to the serpent on the pole in repentance and faith. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, then you need to look to Christ on Calvary. Believe that he died for you and shed his blood for you. And that look of faith will save you. On the 6th of January, 1850, there was a heavy snow blizzard in Colchester in England. And the young man couldn't get to his place of worship. They went into this little primitive Methodist chapel in Colchester. And the man was given the task to take the service that morning. He couldn't preach. All he could do was quote the text of Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye end of the earth. And he kept repeating it. And they kept saying, all you need to do is look. Look away. You don't need to be educated to look. You don't need to be a churchgoer to look. All you need to do is look. And he looked at the young man and he said, young man, you look miserable. You need to look away to Jesus on the cross to be saved and you live. And that young man looked that morning. And he got salvation. He looked by faith to Jesus. My dear friends, the difference between perishing and living, and between condemnation and salvation, is faith, personal faith in Jesus Christ. The serpent in Moses' day gave physical life to dying Jews. But Jesus Christ gives eternal life to those who trust him. A past illustration, a present-day implication, a powerful revelation, a personal application, and I finish with this, a precious proclamation. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, this text is a precious proclamation. My dear friends, the word shall not perish makes it precious. Because that would indicate to me that men and women are perishing. They are perishing. But if you look tonight to Jesus Christ by a look of faith, whosoever believeth on me shall not perish. Yes, the words eternal life makes it precious. This is good news for men and women and young people who have been bitten by the serpent of sin and they're perishing and they're in danger. And my Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was lifted up on the cross at Calvary, and whosoever my believeth on him, looks to him and puts their faith in him as their own and personal Savior, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Many years ago, way in the 18th century, in those days, the squire of the village or the town would own the factory and own the houses, and the people who lived in the houses worked in the factory. And the money they made in the factory by helped to make the man rich, and he who owned the factory owned the houses and they paid him rent, and so he had a big sway in everything in those days way back there in those centuries, quite a number of years from today. But two preachers came with a tent and they pitched it in the village and they preached the gospel. And many people came to the gospel meetings and many people got saved. And you know, the squire's daughter, the man who owned the factory, his daughter came. And as she listened to the gospel, night by night, there came a night when she waited behind and trusted Christ as her Savior. And when she went back home and told her father, Ma, he was mad. He was raging. And he said, you're not to go back. to that tent and you forget all about what happened. But you know, something had happened in her heart and it was real. And so she disobeyed him. And he told her that she would have to leave the home. She would have to leave, that he was putting her out, and to have her bags packed and to be ready for the morning. The young woman went to her room that night heartbroken. She couldn't sleep. She was inspired to write the words that she jotted down on a piece of paper. And there were those words, "There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree." She wrote the whole hymn, brought it down and left the piece of paper on the drawing room table. Went back up again. The morning came. She packed her bags and got on her clothes and came down the stairs. And as she came down the stairs, she looked into the drawing room. And there was her father on his knees with tears streaming down his face. And he beckoned her to come in. And he said to her, it's the words of that second verse. And it says, "It is not thy tears of repentance or prayers, but the blood that atones for the soul. Then look, sinner, look unto him who shed it, that thou mayest at once thy weight of iniquities roll." And there in that drawing room, that young woman, instead of leaving home, she led her father to Christ by a simple look of faith. Dear friend, you're here tonight in this meeting. Maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you've looked away to Calvary at a past time in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. I want to tell you this. All you need to do is look. Look by faith to Jesus on the cross. Believe. Put your trust in his atoning blood. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's no need to perish. You only need to look. And if you do, thou shalt live. May God help you tonight to look and see the cross again and see the one that's sufficient to meet your need for time.